As the summer sizzle fades, it's time to establish a wellness routine that's here to stay. Ritual is shaking up the supplement industry with their focus on traceable science and high-quality ingredients. They've got every base covered, from their clinically backed women's 18-plus multivitamin to their stress relief and sleep melatonin, both using first-of-its-kind BioSeries technology designed to optimize formula delivery. For a limited time, get up to 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard. Hope you guys are well wherever you are today. It's a little windy up here in Stark Vegas. Beautiful day, but man, it's windy. It is. And I understand down in central Mississippi it is too. Looks like we're going to have some cold weather. You know, we only get about 15 minutes of fall. And I hope you enjoyed it, because you won't get it again until next year. You know, we have the post-Labor Day false fall, and the, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But better get ready for some cooler weather, and I'm okay with that. I love blue jean and leather jacket weather. I do. That's me. Looks like today, the high's 62, but looking ahead to your Saturday forecast, got an afternoon game. Kind of glad we do. Listen, I'm a big fan of night football in August and September, and then daytime football in November. That's just me. But Saturday, low of 37, a high of 60. So go ahead and prepare to bring a jacket as you come to cheer for your Bulldogs against the Missouri Tigers. We're going to talk a lot about Missouri today, but I wanted to make you apprised of one thing. We have made the move and decided, for those of you that wanted to purchase the BOGOs, the buy one, get one free floats, you can do that now. It's a Black Friday special, but we kind of petitioned to do it earlier because of the fact that Thanksgiving goes so late. Give us a little more time to sell. You guys thinking about a unique Christmas gift, and maybe you've thought about floating, but it's like, man, I want to bring somebody with me. And I don't know if they want to pay for that. So you can buy one, get one free. How cool is that? Yeah. Buy one, get one free at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Dial 662-268-7601. Dana can walk you through the process, or you can do it online. We prefer you can do it through us because she can kind of talk to you and kind of let you know how things are going to go. It's a lot easier to get your questions answered. Again, that's 662-268-7601. 7601 True Rest of Starkville. People ask me all the time, Steve, why do you float? Well, I float for a better quality of life. I'm getting older. I got these little aches and pains and things like that. You know, my sleep quality is not always what it should be. And so I float to help deal with anxiety, things of that nature. I mean, I'm human too, you know. You may see me as Superman. I'm not. But the reality of it is, yeah, I float. And the very first time I floated, I began the process to buy a franchise. But that's how impactful it was for me. I thought, man, my friends and neighbors need this. And so I'm going to encourage you to come float. And again, many of you are thinking, you know, it's just for the women folks. No, it's not. We have a lot of student athletes that float with us. And Tom Brady and Steph Curry have True Rest floats in their homes. And you say, Steve, I could get claustrophobic. Well, you don't know. No, you don't have to. It's 10 foot in diameter, and you can leave the doors open if you want. If you're afraid of the dark, you can leave the light on in your pod, kind of a soft light in there. There is a kind of some spa music that kind of eases you in. You get about 45 minutes of silence, and then the music comes back on. That doesn't mean your float's over. It just means it's ending. I take that time to kind of stretch because my body is in such a profound state of relaxation. I'm getting older, you know. We had one veteran came in a while back, and he said he hadn't been able to touch his toes since his 20s. And now he can. You know. And so maybe this is a solution for you. And you don't have to have like a chronic pain issue or a chronic anxiety issue. Maybe you just need a break. We had a young lady that came and stayed a while back. I think her family got her and her husband both afloat. And she has three children under the age of five. And she got in there and said that's the only peace and quiet she's had in 5 years. Not that we don't love our kids, but sometimes we need a bit of a break. Take a break for yourself and come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. We're trying to make Starkville a better place, one float at a time. And so maybe something to work for you. But again, a great gift idea. Maybe if you don't think it's for you, come by, take a tour. Dana can kind of show you around, explain to you how the whole thing works. You float in water that's got 1,200 pounds of magnesium-infused Epsom salt in them, and you float on top of the water. It's a weightless environment for the most part. You'd be amazed at what it could do for you. So come check it out. But, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Missouri today, and we're going to talk about kind of what's on the Bulldog calendar. The Mississippi State women's basketball team will host Mercer this evening. Got a cool top 10 list for you, too. Yeah, for those of you that love a couple of iconic bands, we'll put something together, kind of expand your knowledge of them a little bit. And thanks for everybody that's bought the Dude, doing exceptionally well. And I appreciate your support of that. If we're talking about Christmas gifts, right, you still got time to order and get a signed copy. Of course, I know many of you would love to be able to come show up and see me in person and get a personalized book, and you're welcome to do that. Let me give you kind of an idea of what we are right now. So this Saturday, before the Missouri game, I will be at Barnes & Noble on campus from 12 to 1:30-ish, probably closer to 2, we'll see. And then on Sunday, I'm downtown at Book Martin Cafe. So if you miss me at Barnes & Noble on Saturday, you can catch me at Book Martin Cafe on Sunday. Saturday, December 7th, I'll be at Lemuria and Jackson again from 12 to 1. Later that day, I will be, Saturday, December 7th, I'll be at Persnickety in Madison from 2 to 4. We always have big signings there. That Sunday, I'll be back at Book Martin Cafe downtown. I typically do that during the holidays and during football season. And then Tuesday, December 10th, I will be in Tupelo at Reed's Gumtree Books from 12 to 2. That Thursday, I'll be back in Ridgeland at College Corner from 2 to 4. That Sunday, Book Martin Cafe, 11 to 3. And then Tuesday, December 17th, before the basketball game, I'll be at Lemuria and Jackson from 4 to 6. Got some more stuff we'll be answering, scheduling soon. I know we're going to be doing something with Lorelei Books in Vicksburg. If you would like to host a signing, reach out, let us know. If you contact me, I can put you in contact with the people that arrange such things. But, yeah, it's going to be a busy stretch for your good friend and host. But you'll notice most of these are Tuesdays, Thursdays, so they're not a recording day, right? Got a lot of stuff we got to do. You know, it's a busy life, man. It is. It's a busy life. But I love each of you. I do it for you. You know, it's my name on the book, but I do it for you. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I am craving some Bulldog Burger Company and probably going to get in there this evening for dinner. That's the plan anyway. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to order some Bulldog Burger Company and go by and surprise the bride. And bring it up. Don't tell her, right? I'm thinking right now of Smokehouse. That's what I'm feeling this morning. You know, some days you wake up with a hankering for something. That was the case for me. I'm thinking I could really use all that protein. And so I'm going to take care of that today and scratch that itch. Bulldog Burger Company has a burger just for you. They do. And if you're new to Bulldog Burger Company, let me tell you, start with the Bulldog, okay? It's a great place to start. And then you can kind of branch out from there. However, if you're one of those people that is kind of, you know, throw caution to the wind, maybe the mission is for you. I get the pico de gallo on the side. You know, I'm not a big uncooked onions guy. Maybe you are. I don't know. I'm not judging, even though I think people that put onions in potato salad should go to prison. But all that understood, Bulldog Burger Company is the place for you, whether it's a day out or a night out with friends or family, work colleagues. If you need an adult beverage, they can accommodate you there. You need a glass of wine just to unwind. They can handle that for you, too. Or if it's not out with the kids, you know, maybe you're thinking, hey, let's get them all hopped up on that chocolate shake to go. Yeah, it's true. You know it's your kids' favorite place to eat, so let's not deprive them of what they really want in life, which is a nice dinner or lunch out at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Sark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Be sure and go check them out. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. In a good mood today. Hope you guys are as well. Hope you're in a good mood today. We're going to talk a lot of football stuff today, too. We're going to get started with Missouri. You know, when the schedule first came out, a lot of us said, hey, you know what? This is a winnable game. And we've kind of talked ourselves into thinking that, too. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to pick State to win. And some of that's just because I'm one of a homer, and I'm thinking, hey, this is maybe our last chance to win. You know, you never know what can happen in the Egg Bowl. But, you know, I think Missouri is somewhat wounded, as you guys would know. Let's just kind of talk about how they got to this point in the year. They opened up with a 51 drilling of Murray State, 51-0. And then they get Buffalo week 2, 38-0. So not really competitive games to open it up. The game that kind of like changed the perception of this team was that win against Boston College. Boston College was ranked 24th at the time, and the Tigers found a way to win. They were 3-0. We're like, okay, this is legit. They get Vanderbilt next. That game actually goes double overtime. We expected Missouri to win that game. They did. They didn't cover. But again, you know, it just kind of shows you Vanderbilt, not the Vanderbilt of old. Of course, a good thing for Ole Miss, too. I mean, they get out of that rivalry game with the schedule rotation. And so everybody is all hopped up on Mizzou. They're 4-0, headed to College Station, ranked in the top 10, and they went down to A&M and got absolutely smoked, 41-10. I don't know if they've been the same team since. They've won some other games, and we'll get to that, but it hadn't really been the same. They got punched in the mouth a little bit, and then they come back, you know, the next week. They beat UMass and Amherst 45-3, and so you look up and say, okay. Then they host Auburn, who is struggling, not what they expected this year in year two with Hugh Freeze, and Auburn finds a way to lose that game too. And you remember, the year before, Missouri should have won on the Plains. In overtime, they fumbled the game-winning touchdown at the goal line in overtime, and Auburn wins. Well, Missouri gets back. Very competitive game, 21-17. It looked like Auburn was going to win. Brady Cook is injured. Auburn's got a double-digit lead, and Brady Cook comes back and kind of wheels that team back. And it's one of those things, too. He is a real leader, and he's still not 100%. They go to Tuscaloosa, and Alabama just does whatever they want to do. It's a 34-0 win, and really a bounce-back game for Alabama. And then Mizzou beats Oklahoma, and Eli Drinkwitz, who's never been shy to speak his mind, you know, kind of calls out Bob Stoops as Missouri beats Oklahoma. And it's not a great Oklahoma team, and then we find out earlier this week, sadly, Brent Venables' wife is dealing with a very serious cancer issue, you know. It's tough. And then last week, Missouri has the game won and then couldn't play defense for the last, minute 18, and then lose to South Carolina at Williams-Brice. And again, maybe the comeback kid of the year in the SEC is Shane Beamer. Yeah, may end up playing in a Florida bowl game when it's all said and done. And so you got to wonder, how will they react from losing that ball game? So, of course, they're 7-3 overall and 3-3 within the league. They are 6-0 at home, but then 1-3 away. And the one win was against UMass, who just fired head coach Don Brown this week. Yeah, not been a good road team. It's tough to go to Como and play. And it really has been, you know, since they joined the league. We went up there in 15, but you start looking through this thing and say, you know what? They're not a great road team. They're a little bit banged up. We're coming off an open date. So, yeah, it was pretty easy for me to kind of talk myself into thinking, you know what? State's got a chance to win this game. Now, they came up here in 2020 and kind of took us for granted. Will Rogers played in that game. We won that ball game. And if you remember, we couldn't stop them for a while, but eventually we did and kind of hit them in the mouth. And those guys have kind of spoke about that this week. That you can't look at Mississippi State's record. Every SEC team is tough. Every road environment is tough. Not a lot of road environments tougher than this one. I mean, certainly you could say, you know, well, going to Kyle Field is tough. Certainly going to LSU, which I think is the greatest home field advantage in all of college football, that's tough. But if you're not used to the cowbells, it's difficult to get acclimated to the cowbells. And so very, very interesting dynamic in this ball game. And again, you begin to ask yourself, you know, now that it's kind of over, right? I mean, you know you're going to a bowl game. You won 11 games last year, including the Cotton Bowl, and you felt like, hey, this team was built to win and win big this year, and now you're 7-3. Now, I guess you could still get conceivably win out and win your bowl game and get back-to-back double-digit winning seasons. That's a significant accomplishment for anybody. But it's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting. Of course, now next week they will host Arkansas, a place that Arkansas has never won. It's a sellout. It's senior day. And so I kind of like the fact, I like where we land in the schedule. And I like the fact that they have not been especially good on the road. So yeah, I don't really care what anybody says. I'm picking State to win this game. Now, let's get into kind of what makes the Tigers tick. Averaging 28 points a game, allowing 20. And again, when I went over those scores, outside of those first couple of weeks, you'll notice these games have been close. Win or lose, outside of the Alabama game, they've been close. You know, by and large. Non-conference, they've done a really good job in non-conference, kind of taking care of business. But SEC play, they either won a close game or lost a close game more times than not. And, again, giving up 20 points a game. So, again, you probably expect this one to be another close one, and Vegas tends to agree. They've been fairly balanced on offense, but 107 of their first downs have come on the ground and 90 through the air. And a lot of that, too, is product of being in manageable third down situations. They have run the football pretty well. 1,652 yards on 382 attempts, averaging 4.3 yards a carry. And you begin to ask yourself, why would you ever throw it if you're averaging 4 yards a carry? Well, you got to keep people honest. But look at the passing game here. 207 completions and 331 attempts and 5 picks. Average depth of target, 6.66. Yeah. Averaging 220 yards a game. On 11 touchdowns against those 5 picks for 2,203 yards. So, again, fairly balanced, but, a little bit more on the passing side. And you got to wonder here as of late, too, with Brady Cook not being 100%. Even Drinkwitz talked about that on Monday, that he's got a problem with his wrist. He's got multiple injuries, and none of them are serious enough to keep him out. But it says a lot about the young man, too. I mean, he's a senior. He's a leader of this team. And, kind of trying to elevate everybody with him. He's playing through some ailments. But I said a lot of those throws were short last week because of the wrist. And so they don't know when he's going to be 100%. I hope he makes a full recovery on Monday. So offensively here, 3,855 yards. They're allowing 31-16. And remember how weak the non-conference schedule has been. And so you kind of look at that. They're kind of given as much as they're taking. They scored 32 touchdowns, allowed 24. Been pretty good in kickoff returns, but we've been really good at the touchbacks. Punt returns is kind of average at 5.29. Defense has picked off 6 passes too. Looking at the kicking game here, averaging 42 yards a punt. That's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad, especially in this league. Net average is right at 39 yards. So maybe Kevin Coleman can get loose with one. But, a lot of people would have been kind of kicking it shorter and giving themselves a chance to cover it. Field goal attempts, not great, 19-28. And, again, you look at close ball games, and the kicking game matters. Averaging right at 50 yards in penalties per game. The opponent's about the same. So kind of a, Mox Knicks situation there. Time of possession just slightly in favor of Missouri, about 32 minutes a game. A lot of people said it's an overrated statistic. Well, It's not when you're the team that's not scoring and not getting the football. Third down conversions, right at 46%. Pretty good numbers there on fourth downs. They've gone for it 14 times on fourth down. You know, Drinkwitz is kind of a mad scientist. And 6 of 14. They fumbled the football 8 times, lost at 4. And 21 sacks, 4, 22 against. You know, so again, they're giving as much as they're taking. And you look at these numbers and you begin to think, hey, you know, this team is probably around 500 or a little bit better than that. And I think a lot of that's the quality of the competition of non-conference. 27 of 28 in PATs. Red zone scoring. Okay, when they get into red zone, they are just about always going to get points. 35 of 38. And of course, they missed some field goals, but 23 of those 38 red zone trips have yielded touchdowns. On the flip side, when you get into the red zone with them, which hasn't been an easy task, only 26 trips to the red zone, 21 of them end in scores, and only 14 of them in touchdowns. So red zone.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
With the summer sizzle starting to fizzle, cooler heads are looking to lock in a wellness routine fit for the fall and beyond. Lucky for you, Ritual's high standards don't drop with the temperature. Fully committed to traceable science and sourcing, Ritual is shaking up the supplement industry with high-quality ingredients and scientifically developed formulas. With them, you know what you're taking, where it comes from, and why it's important. They've got every base covered, from their clinically backed women's 18-plus multivitamin to groundbreaking options like stress relief and sleep melatonin, which both use first-of-its-kind BioSeries technology designed to optimize formula delivery. And right now, for a limited time, get up to 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Defense appears to have been pretty good for Missouri throughout the year. Look at some individual numbers here. Nate Noel is the lead running back. He's not what we faced with a lot of other teams. Now, they kind of do the back committee approach a little bit. It's him, number 8, Nate Noel, is the lead back with 684 yards. But Marcus Carroll is a guy, doesn't get quite as many carries, but production-wise is similar. Actually has 7 touchdowns on the year on the ground. But between the two of them, they're averaging 10 yards, right? I mean, a carry apiece, 5.6 for Nate Noel, and then Marcus Carroll gets almost 4.5. So you give it to Noel on first down, Carroll on second down, we're moving the chains. But Nate Noel averaging right at 85 yards a game on the ground. And again, this is a guy too. You're playing running back in the Southeastern Conference. You're going to get beat up a little bit. But 27 attempts last week against South Carolina. That's a lot. And it's well above the average. And I think a lot of that too has got to do with Brady Cook being out. Now, early in the year, they fed him a good bit. But again, against as you go along the year, you know, the production dips a little bit. Last week was really the first time they've made him the bell cow. But you go back and look at the so he had the Vanderbilt game, didn't play again until the A&M game, and 10 carries for just 30 yards against Auburn, 6 for 32 against Oklahoma, 10 for 31. And then last week they decided to just load the wagon and let him carry it, 27 for a 150 and a touchdown. So again, you look at the really, it's been three games that have made the difference. In five of the eight games that he's played, because he has missed some time, he has run for 75 yards or less. And then three of those games have been 40 yards or less. So, again, a little bit banged up. You never know what you're going to expect with him. But, again, clearly he's feeling better to take on so much of the workload last week. And this is a veteran team, too, that was kind of built to win. Now, last week against South Carolina, Marcus Carroll just carried it two times. The two previous weeks, a combined 30 carries for 105 yards. And so, I mean, you can only run it so many times. I mean, you only got so many snaps to go around. But those are the two guys. They will line up and try to run the football. And again, a lot of it's to protect Brady Cook. Brady Cook has played in nine games, nine of the 10. And, that's part of the deal. Didn't play against Oklahoma. But you start running through this here, you know, even against South Carolina, 21 of 31 for 237 yards, a touchdown and a pick. And he and got banged up a little bit too. But, I commend the young man. I think Brady Cook is probably the best quarterback in the SEC that most of the fans in the league don't know. He's not going to be a Heisman guy by any stretch. But he is their guy. And so we got to find a way to get to him, and that's been a real challenge for us this year. But looking at, Drew Pine has played in six games. You know, they think that, he's capable of kind of handling the same thing, but he just doesn't have that same moxie about him. Again, you look through this roster, and there's so many grad students and seniors. But Brady Cook, 158 of 249, two picks, eight touchdowns. Drew Pine, 49 of 82, three picks, three touchdowns. But right at 200 yards a game for Brady. Looking at the receiving stuff here, everybody, the household name, Luther Burden III. And if you don't know Luther Burden III, you just hadn't kept up with SEC football. This guy's a pro. Played in all 10 games, 53 catches, which leads them in receptions. 574 yards, which is second on the team. Five touchdowns, leads the team. Theo Weiss Jr. has also proved to be very skilled in the passing game. 47 grabs, 637 yards, three touchdowns. And then there's a handful of guys that have double-digit catches behind them. But those are the two primary targets. But Mookie Cooper is another guy to kind of look out for a little bit. Marquise Johnson. But Luther Burden III was a huge, huge, huge recruiting win. Kid from St. Louis, Missouri. 5'11", 205 pounds. Everybody in the country wanted that guy. He decided to stay home and play for the home state Tigers. I commend it. I do. All right, look on the defensive side of the football here. Corey Flagg Jr. leads the team with 66 tackles on the year. Linebacker, not the biggest guy, 5'10", 233 pounds. Out of North Shore High School there in Houston, Texas. Again, there's so many veterans on this team. Tons. They hit the portal hard. They got a lot of guys coming in for their final year of eligibility. Again, they were kind of built to win this year. But 3.5 tackles for loss. He's got a sack, a pick, a quarterback hurry. Marvin Burks Jr., another guy that's been ultra productive for them. I got a sophomore out of Cardinal Ritter in St. Louis, Missouri, 6'1", 200 pounds. Got us done some big things for him. 55 tackles on the year. Has a pick, a pass breakup. When you start looking through the coverage aspect of it, Daywon Carnell is the guy, redshirt junior out of Indianapolis, a safety, 6'2", 215, and he is a guy that people believe is going to do some big things and may even have a chance to play on the next level. He has seven pass breakups on the year, a couple forced fumbles, 38 tackles. But you start running through the numbers here. We talked about the sacks earlier. The best pass rusher on the team is Johnny Walker Jr. a grad student from Tampa, Florida, 6'3", 250-pound defensive end, wears number 15. Production the last couple of weeks just kind of been okay, you know, just kind of been okay. But he is a guy that has been able to kind of get in the backfield and be a disruptor of things. But, that's kind of what he's known for. And so you got to watch for him. But, again, 21 sacks by this defense, which, you know, we'd love to have that, you know, for us. But, we've got to be able to avoid impact plays. We got to avoid turnovers. I mean, how many times in the last few weeks have we had an opportunity to really make it a game or to get a lead and put ourselves in a situation to win? We force a turnover and then we give it right back. We got to be clean. Luke Bauer, the punter, 38 punts on the year, 42-11 on the average, a long of 60, three touchbacks, 14 fair catches. Again, a lot of directional punting. 12 inside the 20, 5 of over 50. So he's got a big leg. I mean, you see that, you know, 5 of over 50, and one of those is a 60-yarder. I mean, sometimes that can be an anomaly. But, again, it appears that they're kind of kicking for coverage here because you've got nearly half of the punts are fair caught. So we're kicking for hang time, not distance. Blake Craig, we mentioned him. Some of the struggles they've had on a field goal side of things. 19 of 28, 6 of 7 inside 30, and then 8 of 8, 30 to 39. It's the longer field goals that have been the issue. Now, he's 1 for 6 from 40 to 49, but he has made 4 from 50-plus, including the long of 56. Nick Quadrini kind of helps out some on the kickoffs, but this is one of my favorite stats to look at here. 57 kickoffs this year, 46 of them touchbacks. So a pretty good ratio there. They've also had 3 go out of bounds. I love that extra 10 yards. But I don't know if we're going to have an opportunity to bring one out. You know, Davin Booth has had some success here recently on kickoff returns. You know, we went through a stretch there, but we would never, it appears, never run it out. We'd always just take the fair catch. But we found some things, and Booth has made some good plays. He's had a couple of returns that much of it were negated by penalties. But nevertheless, on their return side of things, you know, Marquise Johnson, the third or fourth wide receiver, sophomore out of Dickinson, Texas, a lot of speed on his team. He leads them with 11 returns, averaging 23 yards, has a long of 63. They have not returned a special teams kick for a touchdown on the season. Luther Burden handling many of the punts. He's got 4 returns for 31 yards, and one of them was for 24. And then Daniel Blood, 3 of 6. So just, you know, not a lot in the special teams thing. In a game like this, special teams is going to matter. I think everybody sees it for what it is. I do think it's going to be a close game. And my hope is that we can all kind of will the Bulldogs to victory. If we go out there and play clean, we've got an opportunity to do that. Looking kind of just, you know, some comparison numbers here, you know, especially in SEC play. All right, when you look at, the Vanderbilt game, that's when they won 30-27. The statistics in many respects were pretty comparable for the most part. Missouri, a little bit more offensively. And they did have some return yards in the game that kind of changed the dynamic and shortened the field for them. Against Texas A&M, not good. They ran for 68 yards against A&M. And listen, we've played A&M. We know how good that front is. But A&M kind of ran at will. We kind of know about that too. You know, even though I thought we played them pretty well. But that's an opponent, you know, in common with us. They ran for 231 yards against Massachusetts, pardon me, and allowed just 95. Passing numbers were, you know, somewhat comparable. But when you start working through all this stuff, you're looking for opponents in common. You know, not everything translates because football's about matchups. But I think Missouri, in many respects, wants to run a lot of the same concepts that Jeff Lebby does. And so I think this time the transitive properties are a little more on the nose just because of the fact that some of the things and concepts that we run are similar to what they run. And I'm sure that, we've probably watched them a lot this year in our review and scouting for other programs. And so we'll see. We'll see how things go. But, yeah, I'm going to take State in a close one. And I know it's a homer pick, but I think when you look at all the other things that are kind of going on, they're not having the season they'd hoped. They're coming off an emotional loss. They're going on the road where they have not played well. Brady Cook is banged up. What we need is something big to happen early and get the crowd engaged. But, yeah, I'm going to pick the win. And forgive me for believing. And listen, there are a lot of reasons as you look at Mississippi State and say, you know what, Missouri shouldn't have any trouble. But when you look inside the numbers, you begin to realize, especially with a quarterback that's a little bit banged up and a backup quarterback that hadn't been nearly as effective, it's a challenge. It's a real challenge. And, you know, how do you neutralize those guys? You say, well, you know, you can slow the throw game down a little bit by getting some pass rush. But when you've got a quarterback that's not 100%, especially with the throwing mechanics, maybe you don't have to get home. Maybe you just got to hurry the throw a little bit. You know, it's kind of a benefit for us. That, you know, the guy, now he may come out there and throw for 400 yards against us. You know, but Drinkwitz kind of made mention on Monday that he is still injured and still just kind of working through it. And again, I commend the young man for stepping up for his team in his last collegiate season, trying to get them in as best a bowl game as possible. It says a lot about them. And it does appear they got good culture up there. But what's so interesting to me, we talked about, you know, they were kind of built to win this year. So many guys are so much incredible amount of experience on this team. It truly is. And, you know, I always like to go through and kind of look for familiar faces and that kind of stuff. You know, Tristan Newsom, you know him? Is that name familiar to you? From Independence, Mississippi? Went to Northeast Mississippi Community College? Yeah, maybe you didn't. But, you know, he's a guy that's played a good bit, you know. And so... a local kid, you know, wish him the best. It's not against us. Glad that he had an opportunity to play in a Southeastern Conference. And, of course, a lot of people are, you know, kind of questioning, you know, why is State so active in the JUCO ranks this year? We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. We got to get bigger. We got to get bigger on both lines of scrimmage. Really got to just rebuild this defensive line in many respects from scratch. We got a couple guys who are coming back. But, you know, we've got to go out there. Guys, and that's one thing, too, like, when I think about, like, some of the recruiting Dr. Evil quotes losses earlier in the year, and I won't mention any names because I don't want it to sound like sour grapes. So it was a couple of guys earlier, but I was like, I can't believe we lost this kid. He's more of what we have, right? Guys, I'm just going to tell you, when you've got a bunch of 6'1 defensive linemen, defensive tackles, you better have a bunch of them because they're not going to stay healthy. You know, we've got to go out and get some war daddies. We got to get some guys that can eat up space. We got to get some guys that can go out there and really leverage themselves and play with good pad level and create a mess or a pile sometimes on the inside. It's very important to all of us. And when you've got guys that are a little bit undersized and they're short-limbed, they're not going to get that done for you. You know, I look at some of the guys that left the state. Some people are like, you know what, Steve, yeah, I'd like to have them for the ranking, and the optics aren't great. But I would rather have, you know, a guy that's got SEC size. Wouldn't you? Right? And so you get the JUCO ranks, you hit some of these kids up. And, again, we're not expecting these JUCO guys to come in and be starters in year one. But we do need them to be rotation guys and provide some depth. We've got to go get some starters in the portal. We're not abandoning the portal just because we're going out and getting some JUCO guys. It's important to understand that. Time for today's top 10 list, as always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry, and you need one of those. Yeah, it's part of adulthood. You need to have somebody that can handle things for you. When you're buying a new home, you're refinancing your home, perhaps looking for a second mortgage, there are a lot of things that are important in life, and your home is among the most important. Don't entrust that service to just anybody. Blair Chandler, 23 years of experience, top 1% close ratio in the country 3 straight years. Yeah. Also a Bulldog through and through. So you know this is a guy that's a season ticket holder, got a place here in Starkville. You're keeping business in the family. I like to do that when we can. But you're not just doing business with him because he's a Bulldog. He's the best. Phone number 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. So if you're looking for your first home, your next home, or perhaps your retirement home, use the services of Blair Chandler at closeofblair.com. Several of our Boneyard listeners have walked away very satisfied customers. Blair knows how to get things done. And if you're new to the game, right, if this is your first time going through it, maybe you're a new couple or maybe you're just starting out as a new graduate and say, Steve, I don't want to throw my money away renting, maybe get with Blair and get that pre-qualification letter. Maybe buy that condo, get you a starter house, kind of get life rolling for you, build some wealth, right? Have something to leave your children. Again, that's Blair Chandler at closeofblair.com. Okay. I watch a lot of reels, like a lot of you, and so as I'm preparing for the show today, I was thinking, okay, which top 10 do I want to do today? And I'm sitting there watching the reels and, you know, just kind of wasting time. And sometimes you just need a minute, right? I mean, I'm a guy that's always in motion. You know, it's perpetual motion, you know. But the reality of it is every so often you got to pause a little bit, and sometimes I do that in the evening. I get today's work done. I'll take a little time away from the message board. And I just go lay in bed and plug in the phone and scroll through these reels. And I saw one this morning of the classic Guns N' Roses lineup. And Izzy, of course, sang backup. But this particular instance is a live performance that Slash actually walked over to Axl and sang along with him. I don't know that I've seen that. Honestly, I mean, maybe I did and I forgot it. I mean, I did a lot of drugs in the early 90s. But my point being is that I thought, you know, let's get on a Guns N' Roses kick today. So I decided let's do Guns N' Roses side projects, right? Side projects from Guns N' Roses. Now, I did not include Chinese Democracy, which technically could be considered a side project as Axl Rose was the only original member or classic lineup member in the band. And a little trivia question, too, for those of you that don't know. Tracy Guns from L.A. Guns is the Guns and Guns N' Roses. Yeah, and Axl Rose, of course, was with Hollywood Rose. It's a long story. But Guns N' Roses, it made sense. It stuck. But the reality of it is these are some very talented individuals. And if you love Guns, and I know you do, Guns N' Roses, then you might be interested to know what some guys have done away from Guns N' Roses. Some of these you're going to know. But I thought, you know, let's take a little trip through this together. And I've listened to all these songs. Some of these albums I already own. But number 10 is a new one for me. Matt Sorum, you know, the replacement drummer for Steven Adler. He was also part of Velvet Revolver and with the Cult at one time. A very accomplished musician. Has a couple of solo albums, but Matt Sorum's Fierce Joy. It's very different than the Guns N' Roses stuff. It's a lot more chill and laid back. He's got a track called The Sea that is kind of interesting, but it is not really straight ahead rock and roll. It's a little more easy listening. All right, number 9, I added this too so we could talk about it. It was written and recorded under the Guns N' Roses banner. But it's really not Guns. Matt Sorum and Duff McKagan did not believe in the song, and so they did not participate in the recording of the song. It was released as a single on the End of Days motion picture soundtrack. We should do that, right? We should run out and get those. A lot of times they were like B-sides that were released, but occasionally there was a great song like Iris from the Goo Goo Dolls. You know, it was written for City of Angels. It's amazing, right? So occasionally there were some hits, but it was a track called Oh My God, and like Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction, and briefly from Red Hot Chili Peppers, and from Ink Master. We got a new episode of Ink Master tonight. Yeah. That's what I'll be watching. But it's a track called Oh My God, and it's very different. I think the lyrical content is good, but it's not like, it didn't have the classic Guns sound. And so as a result, it didn't do as well. I think a lot of people were like, I don't like industrial guns. But I wanted to include it because I don't think it's a song that many of you, even you hardened Guns N' Roses fans, know, or maybe you've forgotten. All right, number eight. I really like Duff McKagan's Loaded. Are you familiar with that? Like, there's a band called Loaded. I think Duff's done three albums with them. My favorite song from them is Flatline, but for some reason it's not available on iTunes anymore. Maybe they'll get that fixed. But they had a bit of a hit here in the playoff run a few years back with a song called We Win. Really like that track. I think you'll dig it too. It's a little more modern than the Guns N' Roses stuff. Now, the rest of the way, I think you're going to know most of these. Number seven, I remember when this dropped and everybody was telling me it's going to be an amazing album. Guys, I wanted to love it. And I know I'm going to get some negative feedback from some friends. But the Izzy Stradlin and the Juju Hounds album just didn't do it for me. There's some songs on there that I like. And it's kind of got an old school Rolling Stones vibe to it. You can hear some Keith Richards, you know, in it a little bit. It's more bluesy than Guns was. Doesn't have the edge to it. But I dig the track Shuffle It All, which was a single for them. And again, maybe you're familiar, but there were so many people that were pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing the Izzy Stradlin album. And I just don't think it worked. Just my own opinion. I got some friends of mine that went and saw him live. And so many put on a killer show. And it's a little bit heavier live. But I didn't get it. And that's okay. Izzy was my favorite guy in the band initially. Number six, a track that maybe you haven't heard that you should have heard. Now, Steven Adler, of course, wanted to rejoin Guns N' Roses. They did not bring him back. Matt Sorum is a better drummer than Steven Adler. Steven Adler, of course, in recent years has maybe that's not fair, but in the last several years, many of his hits have been on Celebrity Rehab. You know, and I'm glad that he's kind of got stuff figured out, but after he got clean and sober, he wanted to go back on the road, and he sat in a few dates with Guns, but it's just not the same. So he put together his own version of Guns N' Roses and called them Adler's Appetite. There's a great, great, great song on that EP called Alive. I think you're going to dig that one. I think that's kind of the hidden gem, the little gift in this list today. Number five, and I dig this one, even though Gilby Clark was not, he was in the band kind of as a touring musician. Gilby Clark joined, and Matt Sorum kind of insisted that Gilby play at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, even though Gilby was not included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Gilby had a handful of solo albums. Pawn Shop Guitars is where it started, and I really like that album. I really like it. I like it better than the Izzy Stradlin album. Now, to be fair to Izzy, like, he wrote a lot of the music that you guys love from Guns N' Roses. All that stuff with Appetite for Destruction, a lot of that with Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 was Izzy Stradlin's creations. So, but I like Gilby Clark's addition to the band. Talented guy. But I think my favorite song on that Pawn Shop Guitars album is Tijuana Jail. I love it, man. I do. It's kind of silly, but it's cool. You know, it's cool. You know, it's in my mail to Tijuana Jail, you know. But it's cool. It's just good rock and roll stuff. Okay, number four. Going back to the initial Duff McKagan solo album, if I can get it out. And it's a title track from that album, and it's called Believe in Me. This is before Duff moved to do lead vocals himself. I really dig it, and I think that you guys will too. And you begin to wonder now, Steve, you've done seven songs now, but no Slash. Well, it's going to be it's going to be Slash the rest of the way, right? Because Slash has had multiple solo projects or multiple side projects, and we're going to start with number three. It's Slash and Miles Kennedy and the New Conspirators and the great track Anastasia. The guitar on this, the picking work on this is phenomenal. There's a reason that Slash is a legendary, iconic guy, and it's not just because of the top hat. The guy can really, really play. And I think Anastasia is one of the best examples of his ability to kind of pick it out. So that's your number three track. Number two, off the original slash a snake pit. And if you've listened to the show for a long time, you know this one. I remember when we debuted this as the kind of the song, you know, the theme song of this show. I initially had somebody, hey, Steve, you went all the way back to slash a snake pit. And that's true. And it's Beggars and Hangers-On. I love the track. I love the live version that Miles did with the band when they did those studio sessions. Super, super cool. With Beggars and Hangers-On, I love it, man. It's kind of, you know, one of those songs, too, that I feel a lot of kinship with. That's one of the reasons we picked it to be on the show. But number one, the best side project involving Guns N' Roses members. It's got to be Huey Lewis and the News. No, it's not Huey Lewis and the News, smart guy. It's Velvet Revolver. Now, we could have gone a lot of different directions here. Maybe we do a Velvet Revolver top 10. I've thought about that today when I'm looking over this today. I'm like, you know, yeah, there's a top 10 here, right? But one of my favorite songs of all time, regardless of artist, regardless of genre, regardless of decade, it's Velvet Revolver's Slither. Absolutely amazing. From the very, very beginning, it's like, you know, I was in the market for a Shelby, like during COVID. I thought about treating myself and getting myself a Shelby. And I told the bride, I said, if I pull this off and I find a car that I really want that I can afford, I'm going to get Slither on the license plate. You know, because Wildside kind of made the move with me. It was on my silver and black Mustang that I restored. And I was going to retire that and couldn't find a Shelby that I really wanted. And I was going to do a custom order and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it didn't work out. But that was my plan. And that's one of the reasons that I just absolutely love it. It's just so rock and roll, man. It's so incredibly rock and roll from start to finish. And, of course, Wildside stayed with me when I bought Ruby. But nevertheless, I absolutely love this song. I think it's one of the best rock songs of all time, especially the guitar. From the very opening riff, it's like, you know, you're in for a wild ride. So that's your top 10 songs, in my estimation, from the Guns N' Roses side projects. And again, I do think that there's probably a Velvet Revolver top 10 list in your future. Yeah, and it's so cool too. You know, it's like you begin to think it's Matt and Duff and Slash with Scott Weiland. And, you know, Scott tragically passed away several years ago. And I've read some letters and postings from his ex-wife that don't paint him in the best light. But she also talks about how much he loved people and how much pain he was in throughout his life. And there are a lot of people out there that life is just too much for them. There were times in my life I felt wondered if that was the case for me, you know. But the reality of it is you get a little age on you and begin to realize, too, you just got to keep grinding, man. You just got to keep showing up. You can't just go get in the hole and run away. I'm busier now than I've ever been, you know, with so much going on. And it would be so easy to just kind of let myself slip into, you know, a state of stressfulness, right? It would be so easy to just think about, oh, my gosh, there's so many things around this house I got to get done. I don't have time to do them. I don't always have the money to do them. There's so many things I want to get done. And it's like, well, why would I go do all that when we're not home much anymore? But, yeah, we got a new business out there. Got a new book. There's a lot going on. But, you know, the truth of the matter is I don't know that I would know or recognize life without all this chaos. I mean, honest to goodness, all this running around and going to ball games, going to book signings, and, you know, other than when I sit and write the next book, you know, I mean, I'm active. I haven't been to a rock show in forever. And so I'm kind of missing that. I'd love to go to a show soon. But the reality of it is, life is life. And you know, life is beautiful. And there are some days you catch me on the right day. You know, I might tell you opposite, right? We all go through it. We do. You just got to keep growing. You got to keep rolling ahead and understanding that tomorrow is likely a better day than today. And my dad used to say this funny thing, and I've shared this on the show before, but he used to say, you know, Mama said there'd be days like this, but she didn't say there was going to be this many. Yeah, well, let me here to tell you. There's always going to be somebody out there trying to take what you want. And there's always going to be somebody out there trying to take what you have. Always. It's never going to change. You know, you have to kind of learn to accept criticism. And yeah, I think the Gene Simmons quote is, yeah, I'm never going to take advice from people, or I'm never going to listen to the opinions of people I wouldn't take advice from. You know, That's a relatively new one for me. And I tell you, I listened to a podcast here recently when I was traveling, and I heard something about how psychology is more infectious than the flu. And it was a guy talking about, being in armed forces, you know, about how when you're on a mission, like you can't freak out. You can't freak out because it jeopardizes the mission. And even if you're having some anxiety or stress with it, you got to stuff that stuff down. It's just harder for everybody else to execute when you're freaking out, you know. And so you kind of get that 1,000-yard stare or whatever. You can't jeopardize the mission by getting all emotional. And now, while we are not in the military, and God bless those that are and the families that support them, you know, when you think about your own life, when you lose it and rant and rave and fuss and whatever, you know, you're jeopardizing the mission, man. You got to push that stuff down. You know, there's another time that we can get out there and talk about that stuff and heal with what we're dealing with. But the reality of it is, you know, like I see people out there that, I mean, have a lot less going on than I do. And they're not handling it well. And I learn from watching them. I'm not being critical of them. I watch people. And I was like, man, sometimes I would love to have such mundane problems in my life as this. But there was a time when I did, you know, and you continue to kind of go up the mountain. You know, people start putting other stuff in your wagon. The workload gets a little bit harder. But the reality of it is that every day is a gift. Every single day. Told you guys I had the medical procedure on Monday. Everything's fine. I mean, it's just a routine thing. But you know, in those days leading up to it, you know, you start thinking about your mortality a little bit. You know, this is on the heels of my cousin dying unexpectedly, and then I got to deal with this, and then you can't eat for a day, and you know, it's just, and that sounds so minor, but you know, I'm a guy that doesn't handle it well. I'm just honest about that. But you know, I'm getting older. At some point, I'm going to age out, but I'm going to rock as much as I can until we get out of here. You know, that's true. And then when you guys get up there, I'll be up there shaking a tambourine in Heaven's House Band, man. I can't, you know, there are some days, man, that's one thing I've told my wife. You know, when I was writing When the Bottom Falls, I told her, I said, there have been so many times in my life that I have raced to get out. Raced to get out. It's true. You know, and a lot of that is because I know that there is something more. But as I have, you know, kind of achieved long-term sobriety here, it's one of the things that I think about is, you know, there are things left for me to do here, you know, before I transition to the next phase of existence. And I don't know what you think or how you feel, but I can promise you that nobody is still living life on accident. Does that make sense? We're all here for a purpose and for a reason. And maybe we haven't realized that yet. Maybe there's a relationship. Maybe there's an encounter. Maybe there's something out there. There's some difference in the world that we can make. And so it kind of reminds me of Quantum Leap. Do you remember that old show with Scott Bakula, how great that show was? I started watching it again a while back, and I kind of got lost track. But, you know, it's like he couldn't leap to the next mission until he completed all the objectives of the current mission. And that's kind of how I see life. I mean, there's just so many things left that I want to do, but more importantly, things that I need to do to help other people. I'm not just here to be a spectator. Let's get out of here with that part of it, and we'll get on to the next segment of our show, which is brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart, and one of the things I love about it is it is like the Mississippi State fans' bonanza, right? You walk in there, and there's everything you need to be a Bulldog other than tickets and a donation to the Bulldog Initiative, right? I mean, it's everything you need. You need a new jacket, it's there. You need a new quarter zip, it's there. You need a new polo, it's there. You need the cute little dress, it's there. You need the gift, it's there. You need some pictures for the wall? Yeah, we can get that for you too. Kathy Brown does an amazing job at Campus Bookmart, keeping it outfitted with all the greatest Mississippi State merchandise available on the planet. A lot of people wanted to make that claim, and then when I kind of started calling people out on that, they're like, well, okay, they have a lot of stuff. Now, Campus Bookmart, the best selection of Mississippi State merchandise on the planet. On the planet. Be sure and go check them out next time you're in town. If you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. And let me again make my push, too, for that diploma frame right? You're thinking about, you got a Bulldog graduate coming up, and I'm not saying you buy it for Christmas, but maybe you do. But how neat would it be to be the relative, to be the parent, to be the aunt, the uncle, the grandparents, and let everybody else know so we don't duplicate the gift and say, hey, I really want to get a diploma frame. Because you know that is a treasured gift that will last a lifetime, right? Because everybody wants to have their Mississippi State diploma on the wall. And how many times do you reframe it? Well, you don't, right? So you can buy a gift of significance. And this, your graduate, your Mississippi State grad, can have that on their wall, and they will think of you every time they look at it. You talk about giving gifts of significance. That's one. You know, hey, we're gonna trade T-shirts and cowbells and things like that. But I think the diploma frame is such a timely and timeless gift. And so you got December grads coming up. Maybe consider perusing through the fine selections of diploma frames at Campus Bookmark. All right, tonight the Mississippi State women are back in action as they host Mercer. Your Bulldogs 4-0. And you've been pretty impressive so far. The quality competition hasn't been great, shall we say. But State is doing what good teams do to less than good teams, and they're winning handily over them. Of course, even Chattanooga, of course, beat us last year, and you win that game by 25 points. But, yeah, I mean, and not to mention the Memphis game, 44 to open it up. But Mercer tonight, 6:30, and you can watch on the SEC Network or the, I guess it'll be the ESPN app. It looks like it's ESPN Plus or SEC Network Plus. So you should be able to watch on your app. Be sure and check that out. And, yeah, just taking a quick look at Mercer here. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. But, yeah, it should be a game at State should win. They're 2-2 on the year. I went over this a little bit earlier in the week, but yeah, low scores in these games. They scored 75 points against UNC Asheville, but ever since then it's been, you know, 40 to 50 points. And we're going to do better than that more times than not. But quickly kind of looking at the team itself here, and, you know, we'll go through this again pretty quickly. But averaging 55 points a game, almost 56, giving up 56 points. So it looks like defensively they have been decent. But all that I understood, this is the Southeastern Conference, and we have SEC players. And Ashley Locke, who wears number 23, leads the Lady Bears with 11.3 points per game. She also has pulled down 37 rebounds, which leads the team, averaging nearly a double-double, also has 7 block shots, 7 assists, and really doesn't get in much foul trouble. A 6'3 forward, a senior from Flowery Branch, Georgia, attended Flowery Branch High School. So, you know, that's something to watch. Aliyah Collins has played off the bench, kind of a part-time starter for them. She's been pretty good, too. But this team has not really been a real three-point threat. And that's one of those things, as we get into league play, we're going to see a lot more of. Guys, they're just 5 of 40. On the year in three-point attempts. Yeah, just 5 of 40, just 5 baskets. And Hannah Knoll leads them with 3 made three-point attempts. Redshirt sophomore, 5'8 guard out of Angola, Indiana. So that's just kind of something to watch. This is a team that really doesn't score a lot, and they really struggle from beyond the arc. And the way that we get out and defend, I think this will be a game that we're going to be able to probably get some separation pretty early and kind of empty the bench, and it makes for a really, really, really happy locker room when you can do that. That's an important aspect of all of this. You know, when you got so many people around, that's part of the deal. All right, we'll talk about it more on Friday, but of course Mississippi State is going to host Washington in the second round NCAA tournament game. So the Bulldogs can go from one of 32 teams to one of 8 teams this weekend. We have never advanced beyond the Sweet 16. We played a Sweet 16 game last year against Stanford, a team that was really good. And even then, we didn't look outclassed. We just didn't have our strongest first 20 minutes. Lose that game 1-0. But if you have not purchased your tickets to attend this weekend. You need to probably do it soon. They're just $10 for adults, $5 for kids, because there's a really good chance we're going to sell out. And that's something we never expected when the season began, that we would have the potential to sell out a game at the Mississippi State Soccer Complex, a complex that has not been named yet. Hint, hint. So if you're looking to make a sizable donation to Mississippi State, maybe you can purchase the naming rights to that, invest some money back into soccer. And a lot of people have said, you know, Steve, we ought to do a little bit more, kind of dress up the facility a little bit. And I agree, but I don't know that you make a big financial commitment after just, you know, one great year. But to be fair, James Armstrong has gotten better and better and better every year that he's been here. And so maybe it's time that we do a little something. We got more pressing needs right now. We've recruited well, and now you guys have kind of found that soccer is fun. So that's an aspect of it that we got to consider. But, yeah, there's a little room to expand out there, some things that we can do. Got some temporary bleachers out there on the east end right now, too. But, yeah, we're not going to go break the bank on this. But we probably should do some things. And we've got a great pitch, for sure. And the team facility is great, but there are probably some things that we can do to kind of enhance the fan experience. But we've learned that you guys love those berms. You do. A lot of people like kind of bringing their snacks and a blanket and kind of sitting out there, maybe bringing your lawn chairs, just kind of enjoy sitting out there on the grass. But, yeah, that's something we probably got to consider. But so two games on Friday. I will cover both. So we'll probably record your Friday night show on your Friday show on Thursday night. So it'll be available for you on Friday, or I may get up early on Friday. We'll see, because I do want to go watch the Notre Dame Kentucky game. And so we'll have an article on that. Well, maybe it's a notebook, but we'll do something kind of on what happens there, because it's NCAA tournament time, you know, and that's what we do, whether it's baseball, regional, whatever. We get out and cover those games. And so we'll be there on Friday for both games. And some of you, I know, we're kind of planning to make both too. So come on out and enjoy that. But, yeah, make a move soon if you want those tickets, as your Bulldogs try to make their second consecutive appearance in the Sweet 16. And again, you think about last week, it was a record crowd, not just from Mississippi State, but the NCAA. The largest crowd to ever attend a first-round NCAA women's soccer game. It's incredible that we hold the distinction of that. And now we have an opportunity to build that out even more. But it's not like Duty Noble Field. Well, if there's somewhere to stand, you can buy a ticket. There's limited seating and limited standing room there. So be mindful of that. It's not going to be a situation. I don't think you're going to be able to just roll up on Friday and buy a ticket. I think you probably need to get your tickets in advance. I know you're telling yourself, that'll be okay. I don't know that it would be. I wouldn't take that chance if it were me. Reminder, too, that the Mississippi State men, and we'll talk about this more on Friday's show, the Mississippi State men back in action this weekend at SMU. And so, again, for you Bulldogs in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, that maybe aren't making the trip to Starkville, we're going to encourage you to go support the Bulldogs as they play at SMU. We need more than just a sliver of maroon there, too. And I know we've got a great alumni group out there that are already planning to do some things, but we need you to turn out for that. Now tip-off Friday night is going to be 7:30, and you can watch it on the ACC Network, which means you probably can get on your ESPN app. But the reality of it is that this is a big game for us. It's a road game against a winning team in a Power Four conference. Another test for us. And, how much fun are you having watching this team? Wasn't that Utah game fun? I mean, it wasn't fun for half. But if you were like me, I thought, we're going to be okay. We'll be okay. We just got to get a couple stops here and there. And we did. And we're going to hustle out there and enjoy watching Mississippi State men's basketball. As I've said many times, the two guys on this campus that I trust the most, and I probably need to include James Armstrong in this list now, are Justin Parker and Chris Jans. And, of course, James Armstrong and his staff, we probably can put them on that list too. But the reality of it is we have a good team. And I think that we're going to find out how good a team we have over the course of the next couple of weeks. Yeah, for sure. Going to play some teams that, historically have put some good teams on the court. So we're going to have to match that. And our next home game for the men is not going to happen until December the 8th when Prairie View A&M comes to Humphrey Coliseum. Bulldogs are going to be on the road the next four ball games. So a four-game road trip for men's hoops. And you start thinking, you know what, hey, man, we got to go 3-1. Man, I want to win them all. I want to win them all because I think when we get into conference play, there's a lot of parity in the league this year. We're going to need as many of these non-conference road wins that we could possibly get or not, or neutral side games to help us in the net. It's too early to kind of worry about that stuff, but we can ill afford to drop some of those games. If baseball taught us anything last year is you got to win the games you're expected to win in non-conference. You can't go out there and drop these non-conference games because they become an anchor to your net. All right, last segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I'm going to be there in a few weeks. Cannot wait. I'm looking more forward to that than I am Christmas because all of my kids are going to be here coming back to Starkville. I'll see some of them for Thanksgiving, but we'll have everybody, including the grandkids, under one roof at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and I cannot wait. My wife is probably more excited than I am, and I am thrilled. And so when you think about your own family, think about your own friend group, you need to be the agent for change and preparation. You take it upon yourself. How many times do we say it? We need to get together more. Well, you know what? Everybody's waiting on you. I got some friends back home. I took everybody to Crescent City Grill a couple years ago after Flim Flam came out. First time I'd seen some of those guys, almost 30 years. Yeah. And I said, okay, so, hey, it's your turn to plan the next one. Well, it hadn't happened yet. So it's probably up to me. So I'm speaking to you. It's probably up to you to make the plans. And what we need to do, go find some dates and say, hey, listen, here's what I'm thinking about. Let's get everybody together. They got a 5, soon to be 6 bedroom, renovated golf course clubhouse. It's got a great living area, got the back porch area, the full service kitchen, got a couple bathrooms for us, the fire pit area, and we can just kind of spread out and enjoy being together. And how cool would it be everybody spend the day together, spend a night together, get up, have breakfast, and just make a weekend out of it. Or maybe it's a midweek trip. Maybe you've got a work crew. And rather than go out there and get 5 or 6 hotel rooms, you can have everybody stay under one roof. So you have some common areas to work and everybody can retreat to their quarters when it's time to turn in for the night. Super, super cool place. You need to check it out if you haven't already. We've had so many people that said, Steve, I didn't know this place existed until you started talking about it on the show. And I've had some friends of mine that have used it. And I cannot wait to stay there. Absolutely cannot wait. We may make it an annual event. That's what we're thinking about. Make it an annual event. Just get everybody back in Starkville when there's not a lot going on, right? We can just be ourselves and be a family. The older I get, the more that matters to me. So you check it out today. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page will come up, and you can kind of peruse through all the amenities that are available to you and your guests, but also, too, some booking options are also available. That's Airbnb, VRBO. You can go that route if you want to, but if you want to save some change, and I can help you with that, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, the number 10, and get 10% off your stay. I mean, you could pay more, but why would you want to? Right? The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Okay, we're working through kind of confirming official visitors for the weekend. Now, again, the NCAA made a change here recently because programs like Mississippi State, you know, we had to kind of, you know, had to kind of pick and choose and be smart about who we're going to bring in for visits. And then they said, you know what, hey, around the country, we've got a lot of people that are having to kind of replenish the roster through the portal, and we don't want high school recruiting to kind of have to be somewhat subdued as a result of this. So they have changed the rule and removed the cap on official visits through March, which is a great thing for us because we spent a bunch of visits in June. But as it stands right now, we are expecting 10 official visitors. Now, this is the Wednesday list. We'll get into Friday. We'll confirm some things. Because a lot can change. Some guys may come off the list. Some other guys may be added to the list. But as it stands today, we're expecting 10 official visitors. So let's go over who they are. A couple commitments coming in. Tony Mitchell from East Mississippi. You know, we had Xavion came in back during June. And then also Mason Clinton from East Mississippi. Both of those guys from Scuba committed. We have three commitments from Scuba. And again, Zay has already visited. So we'll get Mason and Tony in town. That'll be good. Everybody else is either committed to someone else or they're an undeclared prospect. So let me run down this as best I can. All right, Spencer Doland is a 6'6", 290-pound offensive tackle prospect from Athens, Alabama. Excuse me. He was committed to Auburn up until last night. Now, he has taken some unofficial visits over the course of the last month. He's been to State. He's been to Ole Miss. And so, you know, this has kind of been expected. You know, you don't commit and then continue to take a bunch of game day visits, especially like this weekend. He was scheduled to be at Mississippi State. Well, Auburn's got a home game against A&M. That's a hint and a half for you right there. He ain't going to Auburn, right? It's understandable. It's like, hey, Auburn's on the road this week, so we're going to take, you know, maybe we'll go watch Alabama play or we'll go watch Georgia. But since they're on the road, we'll just go take a trip in somewhere else. Well, that could kind of be explainable, but, you know, you can't explain it away when your team that lives within your state that you're committed to is playing at home and you choose to go elsewhere. So I think this is probably a State Ole Miss thing in the end, but I like where State sits right now. You know, we'll see how the visit goes. But I won't be surprised if we wake up on Sunday or Monday and find out that he's going to be a Bulldog. And, of course, only it's 2 weeks from today. Yeah, the signing period opens on December 4th. So the Bulldogs are making their, you know, final adjustments and final pushes here. And another name that I think could be a Bulldog is Tywin Coleman, originally from Terry High School by way of Northwest Mississippi Community College. He was originally scheduled to visit Florida State this weekend, but that has changed. He is going to be at Mississippi State this weekend. He is a guy that knows Anthony Dixon, doesn't have a close relationship with him, but he does know Anthony Dixon, and they haven't really talked a lot about his time at Mississippi State, but it's already a win to get him to cancel the Florida State visit in lieu of our visit. You know, he's going to come here and be a, I guess that's not the right phrasing, but the bottom line is he's going to be here instead of there. Now, speaking of Florida State, we've got Max Redmond, a safety slash linebacker out of Cardinal Newman High School, West Palm Beach, Florida. This is a Corey Bell recruitment situation. And he is committed to Florida State. However, due to the coaching changes at Florida State, you know, they fired coordinators and some people like that, and his lead recruiter. And so he is going to visit Mississippi State this weekend. I can't tell you how that's going to go, but you know, we're still out there chasing some guys that are committed to some big-time programs or being recruited by some big-time programs. Now, edge rusher Odera Akaka, out of College of San Mateo, wasn't sure when he was going to visit. He's expected to be here this weekend. He has visited West Virginia. He has visited Cal. And now he'll visit Mississippi State. Now, he grew up about 40 minutes north of Cal Berkeley. And so that's something we're going to have to overcome. However, he is a guy that wants to play big-time football and get developed and have an opportunity to go to the National Football League. And everybody does. He's had a good year there at San Mateo, so we'll see how things kind of progress here. But, you know, I would say headed into the visit, Cal probably leads. That's not to say that we can't change things, but we're going to get a chance to visit him, and we're going to get a chance to kind of roll out the big maroon carpet and show him what his options would be here at Mississippi State. Another name that I expect to be a Bulldog is Saquon Miles out of Hines Community College. And it's interesting, like some people on Gene's page, like, hey, they're you know, mid-80s guy. He's actually an 87. He's committed to Troy, but since his sophomore film has made the rounds, you know, Georgia has offered. He's got, and just, let me run through the offer sheet with you here real quick, just because of the fact that, you know, people always say, well, you know, I don't go by ratings, I go by offers. Well, here's who he's got offers from. He committed to Troy early, and since that commitment, his recruitment has blown up. Offers from Auburn, Mississippi State, Colorado, Georgia, Ole Miss, Virginia Tech, East Carolina, Houston, West Virginia, and then several G5 programs. And so a guy that's got, you know, a ton of offers and considered one of the top junior college offensive linemen in the country, and he's from Greenville, Alabama. You know, and so we'll have an opportunity, again, to get him, and I think in the end he is going to be a Bulldog. I feel pretty good about that. Now, Eric Hazard, an edge rusher out of Fred J. Page High School in Franklin, Tennessee. He is a mid-level 80s type guy, committed to Louisville. Dad played at Mississippi State in the early 90s. And so a bit of a legacy kid here. We'll see how things develop with him, but I think this is, again, another opportunity for a flip, and Louisville's a Power 5 program, you know. Amarian Jefferson, a relatively new name to the recruiting radar. Now, he's a guy originally from Towertown, Mississippi. So he knows Jamion Lewis. And if I'm not mistaken, his mom is cousins with Jamion Lewis. He also has some connections to Deontay Evans. Deontay Evans, when he was at Southwest Mississippi Community College, signed Amarian to play at Southwest. Deontay leaves. He transfers to East Central and has developed into one of the top defensive backs in the state of Mississippi. 18 current offers. A lot of discussion about Mississippi State. I think it's kind of like, hey, they got to see him in person, and then we'll see how things go. Could be a scenario here where we add another guy here. Not ranked yet, but again, 18 offers already. And a guy that, you know, really, I had to set up a profile page for him, a guy that's kind of flown under the radar as far as the recruiting networks go. And then there's Braden Turnage. I really like what I've seen from him. You know, Braden Turnage is a guy that lettered in three sports, basketball, baseball, and football. And there was a lot of discussion about him playing college baseball. He's 6'8", 285 pounds, and he played as an attached tight end this year. And they threw the football to him some. So he's athletic, got some dexterity, but he will be an offensive tackle prospect. He's currently committed to the University of Memphis. And so that's something that we'll watch. But with 10 visitors in, I mean, I'm expecting maybe half of these guys to commit. You know, two of them already are, so that's two of the 10 that are committed, take you down to eight. So I would say four or five of these guys are probably committed by close of business on Monday. That's pretty significant if you ask me. I like the class right now. We're currently ranked 30th, and so we have an opportunity to push into the top 25. Again, you got to get some guys ranked. But our current commitments are all ranked, including Joseph Skipworth. Our most recent commitment that visited some time ago is rated an 87, and we flipped him from Kansas. And so I share that for a couple reasons, because how many times in the years past do we get down to the end of this thing and, you know, we're going and getting a small-town Mississippi guy that doesn't have a lot of options? You know, we've got some guys that have a lot of options. You know, the kid from Dyersburg, Tennessee, Braden Turnage, got Middle Tennessee, and he's got Memphis. But it's 6'8", 295 or 285. You know, how could you go wrong there, right, when you've got a guy that is athletic enough to play center and also to a guy that good enough hand-eye coordination to play baseball? And if you go follow him on Twitter, you'll see he's being followed by Chris Simonis and Jay Gotro and others. You know, and so this is a guy that has the opportunity to play college sports in multiple sports, and so it's a guy, too, that maybe you take a chance on because of the athleticism and the size there. Also a guy, too, that was here for the UMass game, so it's not like he's brand new to us. We've seen him. We have had an opportunity to spend some time with him, and so I like the list. And, again, there may be some changes. There may be some additions. There may be some subtractions. Before the end of the week is up, and we'll update the list on Friday and kind of let you know how things look. And, of course, we'll preview the weekend on Friday, and we'll take our last look at Missouri. But, I feel good today. And, man, what would a win mean for this program? I mean, if we can find a way to, well, dare I say it, end the year on a two-game winning streak, wouldn't that be amazing, right? Beat Missouri and then recapture the Golden Egg. And listen, let's make no bones about it. Ole Miss is a lot better football team than us. And they're playing for a lot, too. And so you and I both know going up there is never a picnic. But there's a reason we play the games. There have been many times over the years where the better team didn't win the golden egg. And we've been the victim of that sometimes too. And so we'll just kind of see how things play out. But right now, first things first, you know, we got to go out there and put a good product on the field against Missouri and hopefully get a win. And hopefully we get a good crowd too. There's been a big thread on Gene's page about who all's coming, who wants to be a part of it. Some other people have some other plans, but by and large, it looks like we've got fans that are committed to coming. And let me remind you, we only get six or seven of these a year. That's it. And again, it's going to be great weather. Again, it's going to be jacket weather. But, you know, we need to be there. And I know it's going to be one of those weekends, too. You say, hey, Steve, you know, we're not playing meaningful football. I'm just going to sit home and watch it. If you can't make the game or you elect not to come, let me encourage you, get those hands, those tickets in the hands of other Bulldog fans. I am confident that you know some young Bulldogs out there. Maybe mom or dad can't afford to buy season tickets. Maybe you know them through church or through school or whatever. And obviously, they don't need to be teenagers if they're student athletes because you'd be committing a violation. But I guarantee you, if you have tickets and you've already spent the money, and so rather than go, you know, sell them on StubHub or something, why not give the gift of Mississippi State to maybe a family that wouldn't be coming otherwise? You know, you got the parking pass. You can give them a parking pass and transfer the tickets and give them the opportunity to come up and enjoy something that we often take for granted, right? I mean, we get to be around the big maroon bubble all the time. Wouldn't it be great? You know, maybe you know a single mom out there that got a couple boys or maybe a daughter or two that you know, would love to be able to come to a ball game. That would be a great gift. You want to do something for them. It's also doing something for yourself. You know, doing something for somebody else, not expecting anything else in repayment. And I know a lot of people out there, I see them on Facebook, is like as soon as tickets pop up and say, hey, I got free tickets, I want them, I want them, I want them. There are plenty of people out there of the maroon and white persuasion that are happy to fill your seats. And it's not just about, you know, a few bucks, right? I think about that as a kid. You know, like we used to go see the games in Jackson, but we never came to Starkville. Never came to Starkville. And we had an opportunity to watch Mississippi State play. It was a real treat. And I remember all those games that my dad brought me to watch Mississippi State play. And many of my favorite memories of me and my father centered around Mississippi State events. And, you know, we weren't season ticket holders. You know, we kind of came when we could. You know, and more times than not, it's when the Bulldogs came to us and my dad lived in Canton. But think about the gift that you'd be giving to somebody else, whether it be basketball or baseball or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of young kids out there that their heroes have always been Bulldogs, and they don't get the opportunity to see their heroes play in person very often. And so I encourage you, please, 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 if you're not coming to the game, get those tickets in the hands of some Bulldog fans that would see it as a treat. You may make somebody's holiday season. Truly. There may be a young man out there that one day develops into a student athlete, you know, maybe 10 years from now, and he remembers. He looks back and says, you know what, hey, I remember the first time I came to Mississippi State, and I knew that if I ever had the opportunity to play there, that's where I was going to go. I think about Harper Davis, and I'm so blessed to have been able to interview him and you know, for Alpha Dogs. And he told me when he was Clarksdale High School, they had to come play West Point on a Friday night. And they spent the night, went to the Mississippi State game. And then he saw Blondie Black just kind of run through everybody. And he wanted to be Blondie Black. And he goes, man, if I ever get a chance to play here, that's what I'm going to do. That's exactly what he did. And same situation, right? Somebody else arranged an opportunity for him to go see Mississippi State play in person. And he ends up being one of the greatest running backs in the history of Mississippi State. Yeah. Just think about the impact you could have, not just on somebody else's life, but on Mississippi State. Got a call earlier from Charlie Weatherly, my friend, also Mississippi State Hall of Famer. Many of you know him. And Charlie just finished reading the dude and wanted to provide me with his review. And he is a man that I respect. I was honored to be able to write his Hall of Fame story when he was inducted into the M Club Hall of Fame. Meant an awful lot to me. I've had a chance to get to know Charlie a lot over the years, and for us to have the chance to talk about Duty Noble, and you know, he got almost got emotional on the phone with me and thanking me, for writing that book. And I don't share that with you to prop myself up, but really to maybe push the work a little bit. There are a lot of people out there that maybe don't know a lot about Duty Noble. I've got young people that say, I didn't even know Duty Noble was a person. We named the baseball stadium after him, right? And I'll tell you a funny story, too. I don't want to incriminate anybody here. But when I was doing my research for the book, there were dates about his enrollment, like when he was here, when he graduated. And I found three different dates that people said of his attendance here at Mississippi State. I thought, well, I'll just hit up John Dickerson at the registrar's office and see what we can find out officially. And so John's got some people working on this, right? And they're younger than me and you. And one of the kids comes back and says, I don't see anything on this guy. I mean, are you sure he went to school here? And then John's like, yeah, I'm really sure. I'm absolutely definite that he went to school here. But that's why you write the book. You know, there's a lot of fans out there that don't know these stories. And to hear Charlie Weatherly, again, a legend at Mississippi State, and not just the work he did on a football field, but the work he did with our Alumni Association for forever and a day, to have his endorsement of the book means more to me than I can really say. And so you need to get a copy for yourself. If you haven't already, go to dutynoblebook.com and you can get signed copies. And they're doing basically next day shipping now. We're caught up and they're basically running back and forth to the post office every day. And so you order today, good chance it'll be shipped out to you before the week is over. Yeah, how cool is that? And anything ordered through the website is signed. And all of my sports titles are there, too. That's Alpha Dogs, Stark Villains, Flim Flam, Dog Pile, and every Bulldog needs a copy of Dog Pile. I don't know when we're going to win our next national championship, so you need to make sure you've got that one. But every Bulldog fan, I think, needs a copy of The Dude, too. And it's not just a baseball book. It's one thing that I don't think people fully appreciate. You know, Duty Noble lettered 14 times and 16 opportunities in baseball, football, track, and baseball. And there's a bunch of football stuff in here. There's a bunch of baseball stuff in here. There's a bunch of basketball stuff in here. And there are a lot of things about your university that maybe you don't know, even some things off the field that maybe you're unaware of. And speaking of the Alumni Association, it's one of the things that I share with some people. I think the one Alumni Association group that is going to be really, really proud when they read The Dude is going to be the Lowndes County Alumni Association. They were on the right side of history every single time. And it's incredible to go back and look in hindsight and say, hey, these guys stood up for what they felt was right, and they were proven to be correct. And so if you're in the Lowndes County Alumni Association, you need to get that book, because you were prominently mentioned, and some people that have been a huge part of that organization over the years are recognized for their accomplishments and also their contributions to Mississippi State sports. But more importantly, just being great Bulldogs. It's an important part of it. All right, you guys come float with us again, 662-268-7601, and come join the party over at jeanspage.com, the best Mississippi State website in the history of the world. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
As the summer sizzle fades, it's time to establish a wellness routine that's here to stay. Ritual is shaking up the supplement industry with their focus on traceable science and high-quality ingredients. They've got every base covered, from their clinically backed women's 18-plus multivitamin to their stress relief and sleep melatonin, both using first-of-its-kind BioSeries technology designed to optimize formula delivery. For a limited time, get up to 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.